All right, this is it. All week long, you look forward to this, and it's here. It's Friday. It's the best day ever invented. Welcome to the show. I'm Bill. That's Wendy.
Welcome to Friday, Bill.
Welcome to Friday is right. I'm telling you, at some point, they're going to figure out we need more than one of these in a week. I'd put one right between a Tuesday and a Wednesday just to say to people, hey, don't give up.
Haven't they done studies that people are more productive if you only work 4 days a week?
If that hasn't been a study, it should be a study.
Let's get a grant. Let's Kevin, get Grant DePorter.
Put in for a grant for
Mulvey,
Wendy and
we
me.
We got Grant Mulvey. We got DePorter.
Yeah, put in for a Grant Mulvey. He's
Either
my
one.
Best friend. He would do it, I bet.
He could be the ambassador of fun.
Actually, if it'd be a lesser work week, you should go to Grant Park.
Right. That's true, too. That's very true. Remember how they used to say, I was thinking about this the other day, and I haven't heard anyone say this in a long time because I think we as a people got smarter. But people used to say this, hey, don't buy a car that was made on a Friday because the guys in the plant were just goofing off all day. They didn't care what they were doing. Your car will be a lemon.
I never heard that before in my entire life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
People used to say that all the time.
Or the end of the month or something like that. You know, they're rushing to get their quota.
Right. Right.
How do you know what day your car was made?
Well, you ask
the
it?
Thing is, a car isn't made on a day. They don't make a car on a day. The way that automation works is it's made over a series of days. It's assembled maybe in a day or a two-day period.
You're a genius, aren't you?
But no, I'm not a genius, but I can't tell you how many times over the years, like especially when I was just of the age where I was about to get my first car, people go, hey, you go into that dealership and you sit down with those guys and you say to them point blank, I do not want a car that was made on a Friday. You got to tell them that. They would laugh you out of the showroom.
If somebody's going to buy a car today, will you like keep the phone live while you say that to the salesperson?
Right. This car, I'm spending a lot of money with you today. I just need your assurance, sir, that this car or madam, that this car was not made on a Friday because I know it'll fall apart as soon as I drive it off the lot. Please tell me it wasn't made on a Friday.
It is weird how there are some cars that you get that just are never good. One out of all the cars I've purchased, just there were problems after problem. Not awful, but there was, and everything was covered on a warranty, but it had to keep going back a lot.
Oh, no.
Just one out of all the many cars I bought, which really are only four.
And see, I feel like that almost is very, very rare now. You know, it used to
I think
be
it is
common.
Now. Yeah, this was an older car.
Well, remember how people used to hold a grudge against an entire car company? Like if they or somebody they knew bought a car, they would say, if I were you, I would not buy a fill in the name of the car because they do not make good cars. Just based on one, you'd hold a grudge for your whole life.
Yeah,
I'm not buying a Subaru. I heard about a guy bought a Subaru. 3 days later, it exploded. I wouldn't buy a Subaru.
Was Samsung behind it?
Yes.
I am, if I can just say, and, you know, Samsung, it's out in the open. They had some issues with exploding phones.
Yeah. Remember people used to say, hey, my phone was blowing up, but they didn't mean it the way Samsung means it.
Wow, what's going on?
But Samsung has come out with new products, and everybody's going crazy to get them.
Right.
The 8S? We reviewed it yesterday in the Biz Lunch.
What was the overall consensus there, Steve?
Well, it's early, but everything looks pretty. It's pretty, pretty.
And you have the option with this one whether or not you want it to explode, right? Like the old ones just did it on their own.
Yeah,
now there's a switch you have to slide over.
You couldn't opt out on the old one. You can opt out on this one.
This is the 8S or the 8SE. E stands for explode. You
right.
get to choose your phones.
Right. I can tell you what the S stands for, too, but they'd penalize me.
Right.
Yeah.
They'd like to thank you for the preceding conversation it behind them.
But to me, it'll never be put behind them. I mean, I've purchased Samsung items before, but I don't know that I'd go right for the phone.
Samsung, I have one of their TVs, and here's what they told me when I went in to get, I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, I needed a new big TV.
Yeah.
And I went to two different places, and they go, Samsung, man, they're the top. They're doing everything right.
I've heard that too.
No hesitation.
But, you know.
Maybe the phone division isn't quite caught up
yet. I think they've fixed it.
The silliest thing is this new phone has Bixby. Which
It's like their Cortana, their Alexa, their Siri. It's Bixby.
They call it Bixby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's an agency that comes up with names for these things.
It's not a tribute to the greatest actor of our generation, Bill Bixby, is it?
I don't think it is.
It sure seems like it, because how many Bixbys did you know, quite honestly?
One.
Yep.
One. And he deserves the tribute.
Too late.
I would want to use his voice, like if I asked any question.
Do you have to call him Mr. Eddie's father?
Yes.
No, what was Consuela? Or who was the
Mrs. Livingston.
Mrs. Yeah. Livingston?
On Critchup of Eddie's father?
Mrs. Livingston, wash my clothes. And then the washer goes on.
I like it.
I'd never wait in line for phones. I would be in the first line for that phone.
Why don't they just call it Mrs. Livingston? Mrs. Livingston, order me a pizza.
On its way, Mr. Eddie's father.
Bertrand, if you don't interview yourself on the Wintrust Business Lunch today, you're missing the boat.
Actually,
I'll tell you that.
I almost did yesterday, but we avoided it. But anyway, so they say Bixby will become this conduit between your phone and your TV and your washing, all these Samsung machines.
So you can say to your phone, start washing machine, start dryer, and it'll they'll correspond. And
Bixby, tell Mrs. Livingston more conditioner.
Oh, excellent.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. You have to get the clothes in the machine. If you're at work and you go start the machine, if you haven't loaded it, you're in trouble.
Right.
Rakesh is on the line. Rakesh, how are you?
Hey, Wendy. I'm fine. How are you?
Fantastic. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Yep. Looking for the weekend.
Woo-hoo. Absolutely. And Bill mentioned something about an old adage, don't buy a car that was made on a Friday, but you've heard something different.
That's correct. Steve, you... were wrong by about 3 days. Don't buy a car that's made on a Monday.
I've heard that
Friday,
too.
Saturday and Sunday, they are drunk and they have a hangover on Monday.
Right.
I would think Friday would be more productive because they're, not hurrying, but everybody feels good on a Friday. They do their best work on a Friday.
Absolutely.
But look at our perception. Look at our perception of what the car industry was back then. Don't buy it on a Monday because they've been drunk all week. Don't buy it on a Friday because they can't wait to leave and get drunk.
And you can't shop on a Sunday, so you're screwed every day of the week.
Right.
All that will go off when the robots come in and fix the cars.
Have a great weekend, Rakesh.
Hey, Wendy, can I say one more thing? You guys are really, you made me mad one day.
Why?
Why, you guys were doing the Steve Cochran thing on cut out on the Alta? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the big Steve Cochran head on the beautiful Alta lady across the street, Bill's prank.
I am in a parking lot trying to make a call. I had an appointment. I was late by about 10 minutes. You guys went on a commercial break. I couldn't leave that.
We're sorry. We'll try to be nicer.
Fantastic radio. Thanks,
Rakesh. Have a good weekend.
All right.
We must take a break.
Yes, that's a feel good.
That was nice.
Rakesh just made my weekend.
He was a very nice man. A quick break, and then I have to tell you something. Just when you thought you knew everything about Steve Bannon, new facts have come out that are a little bit scary. We'll share those with you next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Don't buy a car on a Friday. Greg, what do you know about that?
Well, one of the reasons that they say also to not buy one on Friday is because the assembly line has got guys in it that are substitutes for the guys that are on vacation for a long weekend. They don't know what they're doing. They don't care, blah, blah.
Do you believe that?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know necessarily, like you said, how to find out exactly when a car has been built. I mean, I know it's got a built date on it, on the sticker on the door, and it can be deciphered. But as far as looking at it, saying, oh, my God, that was built on a Friday, you can tell.
But as Bill pointed out, it's assembled periodically throughout weeks and months. If they did one car a day from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., they'd never get any cars put together.
But if the only thing that they did on Friday was put your front bumpers on and make sure that the wheels don't fall off, that's all they had to do, that'd be enough.
I guess. Good point.
The car industry, though, is the backbone of America. Your major car companies wouldn't just hire a bunch of doofuses who have never assembled a car to fill in for
people. Why do you think we have so many people buying imports? What was that?
Yeah, but the same rule held true. Like, my dad used to look at foreign cars all the time, and it was the same thing with foreign cars. They're like, really? You're going to buy a car?
They learned, though, see? Now they make the good cars. In the 60s and 70s, that's when the auto workers of America started to go downhill. It was just a matter of unions, bosses getting the money, unions getting the benefits without doing the work. It just kind of snowballed from there. And, I mean, the 1970s era cars are some of the worst American cars ever put on the road.
So, Greg, knowing this, did you ever physically say to somebody in a car buying situation, I need your assurance, this car was not constructed on a Monday or Friday? You would never do that, would you?
I didn't. You know, it kind of came up in maybe a conversation. I also sold cars and had that posed to me and said,
really?
You know, same thing that you're saying right now. Well, there's always somebody that wants to go just one step further.
Yeah.
You lied to him, didn't you, Greg?
No, car salesman can't lie.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't in that instance. No, I didn't. That was just, it was just a matter of saying, you know, it's just kind of like an urban legend.
Yeah.
There might be some truth to it, but what are you going to do?
Right.
And a lot of the foreign cars today are actually made here in the United States.
Sure.
Oh, and not all of them. I mean,
a lot.
If you take a lot of each car is made here, but very few cars are completely made here. With the parts that are on them, there are many parts from. That's why they call it the global market.
Yep. Yep.
You're schooling us, Greg. Thank you for that.
Whatever. You're welcome, guys. Love your show.
Bye. Thank you.
Love you. And Tony wants to jump in as well. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Are we giving misinformation out here?
Well, you know, I don't think it's that big of a secret. If you ask me, I mean, I tell everybody that I know about it. So it's up to you guys. I mean, you can keep it on your quiet little file if you want.
What, about not buying a car that was constructed on a Friday?
Well, no. Oh, I was calling to tell you guys, I used to work at a dealership, and you know, I never knew much about that, but I would tell you the best time to buy a car is on a Wednesday or Thursday. You're going to get the best deal because the sales guys are happier, and they want to make that commission check. So, like you say, they can go out and party on the weekend.
Where were you about a year ago? I don't think we bought one on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
So you maintain if you go to any dealership on a Wednesday or a Thursday, that's where your best deal is for that reason, that the guys are anxious to see a commission coming in 2 days later?
Well, they're not going to get that. They're not going to get paid. You know, if you bought a car this Wednesday, they're not going to get that check on Friday.
Right.
You know, they'll get it next week. But, you know, then it's a little more comforting to know that they got that check in the mail. And, you know, when you get to Friday or Saturday, I mean, I leave on vacation on Monday. So I tell you, anything I do the rest of this weekend is probably going to be half-assed. It's my folks are. It's probably going to be not quite put together.
Yeah.
I leave on vacation on Monday.
Sure.
So I'm going up. I'm sorry. I totally didn't mean to swear.
That's all right.
But, you know, I would maintain that. I mean, you guys on Friday, you guys are itching to get out the door. You're watching.
We start that around noon on Monday usually.
Yeah.
We start that.
We're early.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, I love your honesty that you're going to put no effort into the next 2 days. So have a great vacation.
Oh, I haven't put any effort in for the last 32 years.
You, sir, are a true American.
Have a great vacation.
Good for you.
All right, I love you guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Tony.
That's honest.
Yes, that's what makes this country tick right there. All right, we'll take a quick break. Some news is coming your way, and then Fortune Feimster, a very funny comedian and actress. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, if you don't know the name by now, you're going to know the name very soon. Fortune Feimster is her name. Comedian, actress, writer, and a whole lot more. Currently starring or co-starring in what I think are two of the funniest shows on television, The Mindy Project and Life in Pieces, and appearing at Zany's all through this weekend. Hi, Fortune. How are you?
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
So happy to be here.
Such a fan of your work.
Oh, thank you.
I was just telling you off air, usually if somebody says they're a scene stealer, some people perceive that as a negative.
Yeah.
But you show up on these shows, and you do. It's hard to not watch you and just all of a sudden you be the center of attention.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It might be because the characters they write for me are loud and hard to ignore. I just bolt, you know, bust through a room like, hey.
The character you play on Life in Pieces, Dougie, is the ultimate roommate from hell. I can't imagine having a more horrendous roommate than Dougie on Life in Pieces.
It gets worse. There,
does it?
I'm in another episode where I do something where you're like, I don't know how they don't kick me out of the house having what I have in my room.
Really?
You'll have to wait.
Right. Oh, my God.
Good.
But filming it, I filmed the scene with Diane Weston, who's amazing, and I was about to jump out of my skin.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So which came first, comedy, acting, both at the same time?
Improv came first, which is, you know, I'm in the city of improv here. The Groundlings is where I studied. I just started in 2005 like as a hobby. I was like, oh, I want to make friends and do like a fun thing. And then here I am. And stand up was just like, oh, I'll try this. I took a class and.
And you were natural at it.
I think it just, yeah, it just seemed like a comfortable place to be. I'm not a natural talker per se. Like some people have that like gift of gab and that's not me, but I've. I feel like I've, for my age, I've lived a pretty full life, so I have things to talk about.
Sure, of course. When you were younger, was there somebody who had either done improv or comedy or was an actress that you kind of wanted to pattern yourself after at all?
No. I mean, no one that I knew personally, but I, like, my family just kind of left me to my own devices. So I just, like, was obsessed with Saturday Night Live. I used to watch reruns of the Carol Burnett Show.
Yeah. Wasn't she great?
I saw her in Chicago last year.
Chicago Theater.
Oh, so great. I mean, people like that just blew me away. And I always remember thinking, like, God, that would be so cool to have that freedom to be able to just, like, make people laugh and be silly. But I didn't. I grew up in a town of 5,000 people. I think you could do that for a living.
There aren't funny people in North Carolina?
I mean, not on purpose. they're just a lot of weird characters. You know, the South is just full of, like, characters, but they're real people. And I want to write a show about, I mean, I feel like you haven't seen that, like, Southern thing in a while.
Well, the Andy Griffith Show was supposed to be, Mayberry is supposed to be North Carolina. Was there any similarities between what you saw in Mayberry and in the town you grew up in?
I mean, Mayberry seemed like cooler.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right? My town was so boring growing up. They didn't serve alcohol, so there were no good restaurants. If you wanted to, like, go to a fancy restaurant, it was, like, the Sizzler.
Oh, nice.
And people would, like, rush out of church to try to get there first, you know, beat the church crowd. Downtown was dead as a doornail. And so, I remember high school, you would just drive up and down the street to try to, like, run into friends and hang out in the church parking lot.
Your family's still there?
My family's still there, but now the city sells alcohol, and it changed everything. It's like a booming little town.
Really?
Everyone from Charlotte's moving there. It's like cute. There's cool restaurants.
Oh, excellent.
Alcohol is the best thing ever.
And not to abuse all things in moderation.
But to have a cocktail at dinner time.
So in a year when they open up the first opium den, will that be good for the town?
I mean, maybe they'll, you know, have a draw a line somewhere. They're about to open a cigar bar there. I'm like, what is happening to my town?
It's getting hip.
Yeah, apparently.
I know something about you that I think Wendy will enjoy. We were talking before the show about collecting, and you said you don't have the collecting gene, but your mom has.
My mom has the hoarder gene.
Oh.
Don't tell her I said that.
I've been watching Hoarders lately, and I feel like I'm on the cusp
of
it.
Are you? You like stuff?
I like stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff that I don't even need.
I hate stuff, but I think it's because of my mom.
So did you grow up in a house that
was... Yeah, we had, like, she would keep it to rooms, so we had hoarder rooms. So, like, if you open certain doors, like, you could, like, barely open it.
I mean, was it really packed to the gills?
Yeah, like, I'm not joking, like, when I say hoarder, I'm not, like, jokingly being like, oh, she likes a little, you know, clutter. It was, like, an entire room full to almost the ceiling.
And did she recognize it as quirky or problematic, or how did she categorize
she
it?
She did not. It went over her
head.
She
didn't see it as clutter.
She didn't see it.
Wow.
So, like, every couple years, we would have, like, a major cleaning out where we would, like, literally, my brothers and I would, like, form, like, a train where we'd throw stuff down the stairs. Like, you know, out to... We had to rent city trucks, not... You couldn't just put it in, like, a... She'd be so mortified. If she listened to this. You couldn't just put it in, like, a trash can. We rented, like, a giant dump truck.
It was epic.
And filled it to the rim.
Did she let you get rid of stuff? Because that's the hard part. My husband... I have a messy dining room table. That's really the gist of it.
Yeah, that's
And
not
my
bad.
Husband will move stuff, and I'm like, what did you do with my stuff?
Yeah, she always knew when something was missing. I'm like, how do you even keep up with this stuff? Yeah, she would go through the trash.
And a lot of the stuff is your classic newspapers, magazines, periodicals. That was
periodicals.
Yeah.
Just like
newsletters.
It wasn't gross, like
it wasn't garbage.
No, it wasn't like pizza on the bottom of like, you know, or trash. It was just stuff. So I didn't. So like I lived in a like it was gross, like because it was cluttered, but not like gross. It
wasn't dirty.
Yeah, it wasn't dirty.
It was messy.
Exactly.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Is she still hoarding?
She's kept it under wraps for the last 4 years.
Oh. Good for her.
So it's big.
That's very good news.
Well, because you know they say hoarding is very much tied to like therapy. Like
it's
there's
emotional.
Something happening that you're not dealing with. So I think she's dealt with stuff more.
Was it ever in any kind of order? Like if you said, I need Newsweek from June of 1981, could she like, oh, that's not a problem?
Not really. She would buy presents for you like a year before your birthday. Oh, I found this thing. I have to get it for your birthday.
Uh-oh. I've done that.
But then she'd lose it. Yep. She would never find it. And like months would go by after your birthday. She's still looking for it.
But then one day, lo and behold,
then one
it
day,
appears.
2 years after my birthday, I finally get that gift card or that thing she bought.
So when you go back home now, the family's still there, and I'm sure friends are still there. What's the reaction to you? You're doing really well for yourself. You're on TV all the time. You're a star there in town, aren't you?
You know, I'm very lucky. My hometown has treated me well long before I was on television, and that is, you know, they were so proud of me back. I remember when I was like doing shows in a bar, you know, like just wanting to get stage time, they would come out, like 200 people would come see me perform in the back of this bar in Belmont. They were just so proud that someone would go 3,000 miles away, no money, and just figure it out.
Are you the most famous person to come from the area? Is there anybody of any other acclaim from the area?
I guess that's actually from there. Yeah. The Jonas Brothers' grandmother is from my hometown. Oh, isn't that weird?
Yeah,
but they didn't grow up there, but their dad grew up there, so they just opened a restaurant in my hometown. Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
There's a little southern cooking restaurant.
What is Grandma Jonas's name, dude? Can you say?
I can't even remember. I don't remember, but there's a giant portrait of her in that restaurant.
See, I find it, I admire you for the way you were able to cut the apron strings and just move away like that. Oh, I could barely move a town over.
Listen, if you had time for more stories about my family, you'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I see why you moved that far away.
Are they good with you during stand-up? I'm sure they come up a bit. During,
oh yeah.
Yeah? So how do they feel about this?
They laugh. I mean, they're good sports. My mom takes the most brutal beatings, but you know, it's that mom stuff that everybody relates to.
Sure.
She calls me up and tries to get me to remember someone from 20 years ago that I have not thought about once, and then she's like, well, she's dead, and just like, you know, this awful news that you're like, I didn't need to hear that, but thank you.
But she wants to be like the town crier.
She wants me to know about everyone that's had something horrific happen to them. It's like her mission.
That's such a mom thing, though. Everybody's
I don't
mom.
Understand. Or even if it's no one I knew, she read an article. Oh, this, you know, couple was, you know, camping and a bear came in their tent and grabbed their 12-year-old across the, you know, you're just like, no, please stop.
My God, I think I am your mother. The more I hear about her, I'm very much like that.
Yeah.
Fortune Feimster is appearing at Zany's in Chicago tonight and tomorrow night. You want to call 312-337-4027 or visit zanies.com. We'll continue if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Fortune Feimster, comedian, actress, writer, and a whole lot more, appearing in several great TV shows right now and also at Zany's tonight and tomorrow, zanies.com. Fortune, a lot of times when we have an actor or an actress up, I look at their IMDb page.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is jammed to the rafters with all things you've done in the last 3 years.
It's,
you've got a giant page and it's all recent.
It's very recent. It took a long time for the industry to get on board with me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just different. I'm a big girl. I have this crazy hair, this accent.
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Yeah.
And for a long time, people were just like, we don't know. She's funny, but we don't know what to do.
What was the turning point? What happened?
Chelsea.
Is that it?
Yeah. It was Chelsea. And so I got to establish my comedy there. And then I left Chelsea before it ended to pursue acting. And I got cast on a Tina Fey pilot. And that's when my acting part started to take off.
So on Chelsea Lately, remind me, you were a writer on the show, but then from time to time, they'd have you come out and be a panelist, right?
Yeah, I was hired as a writer, and then, you know, they were kind of like, we can't guarantee that you'll be on the show. And then, like, a month later, they started putting me on the show.
Yeah.
And then I got lucky. They put me on TV a lot, so it gave me great exposure. And after she, you know, it really just takes one person in a position of power to say, oh, I get it. I get what she does. And everybody else is like, oh, yeah, we've known it all along.
But you mentioned all these ways in which you're different. To me, I love that.
Well, now it's a positive. But back then, people were, there was nobody, you know, Melissa McCarthy hadn't gotten popular yet. There was just, you know, it takes a couple people sort of laying the groundwork for other people to open that door for you.
I noticed this on Chelsea's show, and I think she's really funny. She's so talented. There are comedians that she'll have on that she seems to just kind of tolerate. And then, like, when you were on, you were one of the people she just really enjoyed.
Yeah, we naturally just had a nice friendship. And, you know, she a mutual respect. There are plenty of people Chelsea doesn't respect for whatever reason, because it's funny or, like, I don't know. She just likes to give them a hard time. But she always treated me well.
Yeah.
And she was nice to me, and I was always good to her. And, you know, we had a nice rapport. I mean, she still would make fun of me.
Yeah.
Sometimes she still sees me and is like, you gotta stop eating donuts. And I'm like, they're so good though. But it never hurts. Like, some people are, she's just like to the point, and that some people don't like that and get really like hurt or offended. And I was like, whatever. Like, I never take it to heart. And so that's why she knows she can tease me.
You know which people can take it and which can't.
Yeah, of course. So it's all in good fun.
Are you as infuriated by the stigma? Wendy and I have discussed this on the show many times. There's still people who walk around and go, women? Just not funny. They're not funny. What's with that? How can that still exist?
It does exist. I feel like it's getting better. You know, the more women are given the chance to have their own shows and movies. I mean, but, you know, you saw with the whole Ghostbusters thing. It came out again. In full force of like, oh, why aren't women ruining this movie? You know, I don't know. It's kind of like, I think you have to have a personal experience of coming to a show. I have a lot of guys come with their girlfriends, and you can kind of see them in the front, or, you know, whatever row with their arms crossed, looking like, I can't believe she drugged me to this big old lesbian show. Like, what am I going to get out of this? And then, you know, by the end of the show, those guys are like running up to meet me. Want to take a selfie, be like, you know, and that's the biggest compliment to me, because if I can change one guy's mind at a time, I'll do it, you know, or try to.
And Bill, you've never been like that.
No,
you've always,
never.
I
just
mean, women
opposite.
Can be just as funny, but, you know, funny should be funny, not who it's coming from.
For sure. It should, I mean, you know, whoever makes you laugh, you know, just,
right.
But you should be open to it and not think it needs to come in a certain package.
I don't know if you've seen on CNN, they've been doing the history of comedy, and one of the specials was just about women in comedy. And you everything they said, and it wasn't long ago, they wouldn't put two women on the same show.
Oh,
and
still, there's so many comedy shows where it's like, you know, one woman.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, that's, you know, that's the quota. it seems weird. It's, you know, part of it is that there aren't as many women comedians, which is true. The ratio is more in the man's favor, but there's no reason why shows can't have five women and eight dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
it
still seems to average around two women.
Besides Zany's Chicago Tonight, what are you working on?
I have a lot of random things coming out. We were talking about a Comedy Central thing next Wednesday. I sing with Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks.
This is Comedy Jam.
It's called the Comedy Jam on the 5th. I tell a story, and then she comes out and we sing with a live band together. It's a really cool show. So I hope people watch that. I'll be a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race at some
point.
Oh,
that'll be fun.
I have another episode of Life in Pieces coming. All the Mindy Project episodes are on Hulu. I was on an episode of that show Nobody's. It just started airing on TV Land.
What is Nobody's? Why do I know that?
It's produced by Melissa McCarthy and
her
husband.
Oh, I know exactly what that is.
And it's her,
Ben Falcone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very funny show that their friends from the Groundlings did. I shot two little indie movies. Who knows if they'll come out? I just sold a movie we were talking about to DreamWorks.
Congratulations.
You are all over the place. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. It's been a lot of work, but, you know, it's so cool to have these opportunities.
Hard work pays off, though.
It does. I shot that movie, Office Christmas Party. It's set here in Chicago. And DreamWorks was like, we want to work with you again. And I just happened to be writing a script, and I said, look at this.
That's excellent.
They bought it, and if it gets the green light, which we don't, you know, we won't know for a while, I'll get to co-star in it, and that would be a big thing for me. But just selling it was super cool.
Yeah.
And now the guys that I wrote that with, we're just coming up. We have like three more ideas we want to go pitch, and I'm writing a TV show I'm going to see if someone wants to buy. I mean, you just have to make stuff happen for yourself.
Throw it up there, see what sticks.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not like people are writing stuff with me, like, as the main character. Like, I could be, like, the roommate or the whatever.
Right.
So if I want these more substantial parts, I have to create them.
Yeah. Although I have to say, the people who are writing for you
are doing a good job.
They really are. Because they're giving you lines that I don't know who else could pull off, and you're just hitting it out of the ballpark.
Well, it's a nice combo. It's a nice combo of the writers really writing some funny jokes, and then also people trusting me to let me do improv.
Yeah.
That office Christmas party was like 90% improv.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That's brave.
And that's just because I studied at the Groundlings for 7 years. They gave me those tools, and now I'm getting to apply them. So people are trusting me, and then they're bringing me funny jokes. So it's a good, you know, combo.
So great to meet you.
So
anytime
nice to
you're
meet
in
you.
Town, please come
see
by.
Us again.
I would love to.
Fortune Feimster's her name. You want to see her at Zany's tonight or tomorrow? You have a few options here. 312-337-4027 is the phone number, and then zanys.com is the web address. And turn on your TV because she's there also, but seeing her live is even better.
I'm stalking you.
Your own website is your name, fortunefeimster.com.
Mm-hmm.
Fortune and Twitter Feimster. And everywhere else.
I'm everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve.
No problem.
Thank you, Steve.
Guess who's on the line with us?
I hope it's Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com.
It's your partner.
It is.
It's your partner in crime. Kurt was here earlier this week when you took the giant Steve Cochran head and put it on the beautiful Ulta model. Thanks for helping out.
That was fun.
You aided and abetted me.
I did, and we didn't even get arrested.
No, there were police nearby who watched it happen.
Wait, Kurt, you sound disappointed that you weren't arrested.
I like to be frisked.
Kurt said, I'll only do this if you can guarantee me I get frisked by somebody. I said, there's no guarantees in this world, and he did it, but nobody frisked him. It was very sad.
Oh, well.
And, security over on the other street, across the street, they kind of watched it happen also. They were very... very polite to us, but thank you for helping me. That was nice of you.
It was funny when he said, yeah, I'll need you to take that down, like, now.
Yeah. He got very forceful at the end, didn't he? Whatever.
Yeah, he did.
Kurt, we just got some news. We had Fortune Feimster on a little while ago, who is one of the stars of the Mindy Project, and we just heard firsthand that after next season, no more Mindy Project. That's sad. That's a really funny show.
Yeah, well, what do you do?
But it's one of those cases where it's kind of going out on top. It's just as sharp now as when it first premiered.
Right, and I think that's why they're doing it.
Yeah, probably. I bet it is.
I mean, there's a lot of talent on that show, and I'm sure that after, what is it, how many seasons?
Six seasons.
There? Yeah. I mean, you know, you want something new.
I think we've seen a lot of shows over the years as they're winding into their final seasons. It kind of gets watered down, and it's evident. I like a show that's smart enough to go, let's leave them wanting more. Sometimes that's better. Yeah.
Right. I think it's good. It's probably smart. And everybody, you know, they'll be much loved, and all those actors and writers will move on to other things.
Sure. Of course. They premiered a show.
That's a better option than I have to tell you that that show, that time travel show, Time After Time on ABC.
Yeah.
Canceled after three episodes.
I was just going to say
that's
just started.
Sad.
And they yanked it from the schedule, too, so they're not even airing the, unless they air in the summer, but they're putting Match Your Beloved Match Game is going in its place.
Oh.
Bump, 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 bump.
That's good news for corporations that make long, skinny microphones.
Exactly.
Wendy, do you find yourself doing this with TV shows? I've been doing this for about a year or two now. When a new show starts, even if it looks really, really good, I wait a year or two to see if the show has any kind of staying power before I start watching it.
I never do that, and you're a liar, because that show that we loved so much that got canceled that I can't for the life, The Family or something.
Oh, yeah, that one I watched right off the bat.
And we were so disappointed because it was...
Yeah.
I don't understand how you can just cancel something. Like, even Time After Time, three episodes, it's just not fair.
Yeah. If it's not doing well, I mean, sometimes those networks are
They're quick to pull the plug, though, aren't they?
There's just no tolerance. Like in the old days, there's so many shows that started out, like All in the Family is a good example, where their first season didn't do anything in the ratings. And if you think a show like that would premiere today, it wouldn't stand a chance.
Right, well, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Seinfeld didn't do well the first season either.
Yeah.
And look at that. That's everybody's still quoting that show.
Yep. Yep. Good news for Game of Thrones. What do we need to know about Game of Thrones?
Well, the HBO dropped, you know, the, usually that is already airing. It starts in the spring, but this year it's not starting until the summer on July 16th. So HBO dropped a teaser trailer yesterday, and everybody went crazy. And it's actually a really cool trailer. It shows...
Dragons?
Yeah, there are no,
no.
dragons.
Kevin's women. Not shaking his head, no.
No?
But
no
the
dragons?
Queen of Dragons, it shows the Queen of Dragons taking her new throne, or reclaiming her family's throne. And, you know, it shows the three main people vying for control of the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, man.
Nerdy here. It shows them all walking to their, you know, in their strongholds where they live and on their thrones. And then at the very end, it shows the Night King, which is this sort of undead, frozen warrior.
Kurt, I had an idea. Can I run this idea past you?
Sure.
As we've said on the show before, Game of Thrones is a show about dragons and really chesty women, and people love dragons and they love real chesty women. Why don't they make a show with real chesty dragons? Why wouldn't that be a big hit?
I don't know.
I would like to see that show.
I don't know.
All right.
Good idea.
Talk about time after time getting canceled in three episodes.
Might be canceled in 3 seconds.
They take it off the air during its scheduled time slot.
Right, during the theme song. They would just go, "This show's stupid. We're taking it off the air."
Kurt, we know how much you like to talk to our listeners, so Kathy has called in at 312-981-7200 and wants to ask you something. Kathy, Kurt Wagner.
Hi, everybody. I love your show. You know what? I got hooked on Shameless. And I got up to season 6. I have Netflix only. So I just wanted to know, is there going to be a season 7 on Netflix? Please.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Kurt has granted you your wish. There will be more. Yeah, it's more Shameless.
Thank you, my lord. Do you know when?
No, I would say that's probably the season that just aired on Showtime. So I would say before the next season airs on Showtime, they will put the last season on Netflix. That's usually how it works, I think.
Is that the one with William H. Macy?
Yes, I love that one. I was on the fence when I first started watching it, but holy cow, is it's funny. It's darkly funny. It's really good. I love William H. Macy.
And he's not such a big part in that. Actually, Steve Bertrand is the one who told me to watch it, and I forgot that I'm binge-watching it. I must have taken a break, but it's really good.
Yeah. It is. It's very good. So I just can't wait for the season 7 to come on. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kathy. Have a good weekend. All right, let's take a quick break. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments for Kurt, the best way to get us is 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. Stick around. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Kurt Wagner is here. He is the star of TVShowPatrol.com. That's his baby. If you want to know about TV, TVShowPatrol.com is your website. Bob is on the line, and he seems not too pleased. What's wrong, Bob? Sad news?
Well, yeah, you know, last week they killed off two of the main characters in Grimm, and tonight's going to be the finale. I'm just wondering why they're not going to bring it back anymore.
What is Grimm?
Oh, it's great. It's all about people that turn into Bogan and all that stuff. We've been watching it from the beginning. It's on Channel 5 at 8 o'clock.
It's updates of Grimm fairy tales.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's one guy who sort of fights all the monsters who were in the Grimm fairy tales, and he's a Grimm, like his last name is Grimm. He's from a long line of monster fighters, I guess you want to say. But that show's been on about 8 seasons, I think, and I think they were just ready to end it, much like the Mindy Project was. You know, they were just done. It's still doing well on the ratings and everything, but you know, the creators just wanted to move on, I think.
Sorry.
Well, that's a heck of a thing, because it's really a good program here holding Toledo.
Sorry about the sad news, Bob. I hope you find a replacement for it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take
great
care.
Show.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bob. Someone
There's
has
plenty of supernatural stuff on TV nowadays.
There is, isn't there? There's a lot.
Speaking of which, someone has texted us, 630, saw on the web that X-Files is in production. Is this true?
I have not heard that. I don't know that that is true.
I thought I heard that somewhere,
it's
too.
It's one of those shows that they said is coming, but they haven't fully, you know, they haven't cast it yet. They haven't written it yet.
So it's not Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny for sure?
That's their plan. It's just not in place yet. But they're hoping to have that
Holy
done.
Toledo. I hope it comes back soon.
Kurt, there's more. I don't know if this is bad news or not. We'll let you be the decider of that. Bonnie, go ahead. It's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com.
Hi. Is Blue Bloods going to be retained?
Tom Selleck's show, Blue Bloods. Is it going to be retained more or not more?
I love that show. We watch the reruns. I'm addicted.
Kurt, Bonnie is addicted. She has a Blue Bloods addiction. Will there be more? It's up to you, Kurt.
I think that there is. I'm not sure if that's one of the CBS shows that renewed. That was renewed early. I'm not sure, but it's got a good chance. I don't see why it wouldn't. It's doing well.
It's a good show. It's a really good show.
Bonnie, there's a show coming on called CSI Tom Selleck's Mustache that premieres in June. Oh. That should be good.
I'll make sure I watch that.
All right. Thanks, Bonnie.
Okay.
Thanks, Bonnie. Care, sometimes people don't know how to deal with you.
Sometimes it's better that way. What about this? Amazon is developing a one-hour drama, The Underground Railroad. Is that about the actual Underground Railroad, or is that just a title that sounds like it?
I believe it is about that.
The Harriet Tubman days?
Yeah, it is. It's about a woman named Cora. She must be involved in the Underground Railroad. Yep.
Will Tom Selleck's mustache be in that?
No.
Okay,
but it comes from Barry Jenkins, who won the Oscar for Moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably got a good chance.
That sounds good. And then Sarah Silverman has just inked a deal. She's going to be on a show, huh?
Yeah, she's going to be on a Funny or Die produced show on Hulu. 10 episodes, sort of a topical show where she'll discuss current political events and other things. So look forward to that.
Good news there. For fans of Prison Break, the wait is finally over.
I think you should have a show, Prison Bake. They make cookies.
Why don't they have a show like that?
Martha Stewart could guest on it. Bring Snoop.
Prison Bake.
Prison Bake Sale. That would be on Hallmark Channel.
All right, so that's sold. We just sold that. Prison Break, Resurrection.
That's on Tuesday, yeah.
Now, here's the slight problem with Prison Break. Spoiler alert. One of your major characters, we found out in the very last episode of Prison Break, is gone. He has passed away. But in the previews, they show him again.
Amazing how that happened.
Yeah.
Prequel, flashback.
How did that happen?
It was a fake out.
Was it a fake out?
Yes.
Psych.
They explain it really well, actually, in the first episode. Of course, they would have to. But
Kurt, the reason I ask is this. On TV, I've seen a lot of my favorite TV characters over the years die and then come back a short time later. But in real life, I don't think that's ever happened once to me anyway.
Right. Has anybody ever faked their death? I'm sure they have in real life.
Yeah.
But this one is not a supernatural thing. This is he faked his death thing.
Oh, all right.
So it's not going to go into the weird...
It doesn't seem implausible the way they...
a zombie or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. Good.
I have a question for you. We had Hugh Hefner's son, Cooper Hefner, on, and they were showing one of the episodes of American Playboy that hits Amazon on April 7th. Have you seen any of it?
I have not seen any of it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I think I just got the screener in the mail this week to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet.
And another show.
I listened to your show that day, and that made me very interested in it.
Oh, good.
As Bill pointed out, Cooper looked exactly like a young...
Looked and sounded.
Yeah, I don't know Hugh's voice, really.
The voice was identical to his dad when his dad was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But they got a different actor. And then
this one's sort of a mixture of archival footage and reenactments, you know, and interviews and stuff. So it should be interesting the way they did it.
The archive stuff is what I can't wait to see.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
That should be fun. And then one other returning show. The first season was magnificent. I've not seen the second season yet. I've got it banked, and I'm ready to watch it. But Fargo is coming back in 2 weeks, right, on FX?
Yeah, on April 19th.
With that, again, an entirely every year for Fargo is an entirely different cast. Who's in the cast this year?
Well, Ewan McGregor. Is that how you say it? Ewan? Ewan McGregor plays two characters. He plays brothers, and they're very different. So he must have worked really hard on that because he looks completely different in each. And Jeez, I'm not going to ruin
it. I thought it was Ewan. He says Ewan. Who says that? Ew. Is that his nickname?
Yeah, that's what they call
him. Ewan.
Ewan.
Anyway, Ewan. Mm. You think it's Ewan?
I think, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Terry Coons is in it. Coons. And, geez, I'm blanking on a lot of the other people. But it looks really good again. I mean,
which timeline is this Fargo in? Because the first one was kind of almost modern day, and then they went back about 25 years for season two. Is this back in regular time, or is this from the past? Do we know?
I do not know.
All
right. It looks like not too old, but maybe it's the 80s. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Can I read a text to you guys? Kurt, I'm tuning in late. Did you guys talk at all about the Good Wife spinoff? I only watched the first episode because it was free, and I'm not sure if it's worth paying for, and then an expletive.
What do you think, Kurt?
It's really good, but I'm not paying for it either.
Is this Christine Baranski? Is she the one who's the star of this?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And they make you pay for it?
I've seen three episodes, but yeah, I'm not going to pay for her.
You have to pay just to see that, and it doesn't come?
Well, no, I mean, you get all of the CBS All Access or whatever it's called.
That drives me nuts.
And yeah, it's just another service that you have to, another streaming service that you have to get. You know, and they're going to have the new Star Trek on there too. And if I like that, I might end up doing it because I'm a Star Trek geek. But
so their way of thinking with a show like Star Trek is so many people are excited about it that might be the one show that they could throw on the paper service and it would really take off for them.
That's I think that and the Good Wife spinoff because there were a lot of Good Wife fans who didn't want that show to go away. And
that's true.
It's good. It's from the same creators. I found out the Fargo season is set in 2010.
Oh, it is. Okay.
The new Fargo season.
So just a few short years ago.
Yeah.
Kurt, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Oh, I have one thing I want to say.
Okay.
I wrote a thing on Game of Thrones that I threw out a theory. It's on my site about this teaser, and if people want to go there and tell me if I'm stupid or smart.
No one's going to say that.
Or whatever. Please do so, because it's interesting. And then the April TV premieres calendar is up, so you guys can find all your new shows.
Oh, nice. All right, so they can find all that at your website, tvshowpatrol.com, correct?
That's right.
Very good.
Thanks, Kurt.
Have a good weekend.
You too, bye.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more shows. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill. It's her, Wendy, and your calls anytime you want, 312-981-7200. You can call us or you can text us. Just a quick reminder, in about 20 minutes or so, you and I, Wendy, will go to the stream. This is a new source of entertainment. It's brand spanking new. Kids love it. It's right there on the internet. You can listen to the show. And we're going to have a very special guest, and that special guest is John Oates of Hall & Oates fame. Will be joining us right at 12:05. So tune in, please.
Can I just say real quickly, you will be amazed at how many Hall & Oates songs are in soundtracks of so many movies. Mm-hmm. I watched Step Brothers last night with my 14-year-old son, Dylan. I loved that movie, Will Ferrell
really
and
funny.
John C. Reilly, and there's a great Hall & Oates tune in there. I mean, you forget, they had like a million hits.
Oh, yeah. One after another after
29 top 10 hits.
Can I tell you, I have such a special place in my heart for Hall & Oates. It was the first concert I was allowed to go to alone. My
really?
Parents let me go alone.
Yeah?
With a friend. It was a big deal.
An unescorted concert. Well, you should come in and tell
and
them
I
that story.
I even drove to Lexington, Kentucky for it.
Oh,
that
wow.
was big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
it worth every
Oh,
minute?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was awesome.
They really are pretty phenomenal.
They put out some great music.
They're
now,
great.
Steve Bertrand fed us some information about John Oates that neither you nor I can find any evidence of on the internet, so I think Steve is trying to set us up to fail.
Well, it's funny because Bertrand does the Wintrust Business Lunch on this very radio station as we go to the stream.
Right.
And he came in here, waited for a commercial break to tell us flat out, quit having these great guests on the stream because you're killing my business
right.
lunch.
Bad for competition, he said.
So he gave us some information, and I don't know, I half remember it, and I almost think he's right, but I don't trust you.
It's that Steve, you can come in. Do you want to come in? No, he looks impish as though he's been
See,
found out.
See, I think
out.
We've been, but I kind of.
He told us that John Oates has a cameo in an Academy Award winning movie from a few years ago. And both of us shook our head like, oh, yeah, but we're not positive. And there's, absolutely no evidence of it at all on the internet.
I think I remember it, though.
Yeah?
Do you want me to be the one to ask the stupid question?
Yeah, because I got a bunch of other stupid questions I've got planned. I don't have enough time for all my stupid questions. So, yeah, would you ask them?
Yeah, because I, for some reason, seem to remember it. I, first of all, do not trust Steve Bertrand at all.
Oh, no.
Bertrand.
You can't.
I really don't.
You can't.
But I seem to remember it because in this particular movie, the star of the movie looked at him and said, oh, hey. And, like, you know.
He realized that John Oates was near him and acknowledged that in the movie.
But maybe I'm imagining this.
All right, we'll ask him, and what will one of two things will happen. He will be so enthralled with the fact that we recognize that little bit part in a movie and remembered it, or he'll just pick up and leave. He'll just go, do some research, you guys. I wasn't in that movie.
The stream is always exciting.
Right.
You should follow us starting
at noon.
You never
know what'll happen. All right, I brought this up earlier in the show. We didn't have time to discuss it then, but we have a few minutes now, so let's talk about it. When I say the name Steve Bannon to you, Wendy, what comes to mind? Steve Bannon.
Someone I don't like.
All right, that's acceptable. Steve Bannon is the chief strategist currently for President Donald Trump. He looks slightly disheveled always. Here's something you'll never see when Steve Bannon shows up somewhere. You won't hear this. Oh, he looks great. Look at Steve.
Yeah,
he looks fantastic.
No.
He always seems disheveled. Always with an ill-fitting suit, can't quite get his hair to do what he's hoping for.
Does he even wear a suit? Like, I think he was even allowed, like, to go places and not wear a suit, and Trump has a dress code for everybody else, but I think he's allowed to be schleppy.
It's more, it's business schlep. It's like
business schlep.
Business schlep, perfect.
It's like business casual, but it's more kind of, I just slept on a park bench, and now I'll attend your meeting kind of a look.
You know, neither of us have room to talk, I gotta tell you. No.
It's like that dish disheveled college professor look.
Right.
We all had one of those.
I kind of like that look, though.
Mr. Chips from Goodbye, Mr. Chips, where you just go, were you just in a washing machine? Where did you come from? That kind of a look. All right. So over the last several months, there's a lot of stories that have come out about Steve Bannon, his past, most of them unpleasant.
Yep.
Very few of them make him sound like a fine, upstanding guy. Whether you like him or not, you have to admit the guy has a checkered past. He just does. All right. Now comes a story about a house that he and his then wife, Diane Clohessy, Mrs. Number Three, if you're keeping score on your Bannon list of wives, this is wife number three. They rented a house for a while in Florida, and evidently some questions have come up about the house that they had rented. Now, this is back in 2013. Actually, they lived there from 2010 but to 2015. But the gist of the story takes place in 2013 when the guy who owns the house, the landlord, had some questions. For instance, he wanted to know why there were padlocks on the inside of the house, like in rooms, internal rooms of the house, like from bedroom to hallway or something like that. There were padlocks installed, which seems a little bit questionable. But the stranger one is there's a jacuzzi in the house, and they believed that it was washed out with acid, as though something had happened in the jacuzzi that was so serious that acid needed to be used to wash out the jacuzzi. Can you, other than like
a body,
an episode
that's
of The Sopranos or two,
right.
I can't think of any reason that you would need to wash your jacuzzi out with acid. Normally, soap is the way to go.
How do they know that it was acid? Ammonia would be bad too, and leave, you know, maybe wreck the glaze on your hot tub. But how do they know it's acid?
Back in 2013, a Florida house rented by Steve Bannon and his now ex-wife, that's Diane Clohessy, number three, if you're keeping score, was kept in a dismal state. The landlord wondering if the jacuzzi had been destroyed by the acid used to clean it. Records obtained by the Washington Post show that Bannon had a rather erratic living situation going on between 2010 and 2015, and the residence that he originally claimed in order to register to vote in Florida was basically ruined by Mr. and Mrs. Bannon. Bannon and his wife, Diane Clohessy, leased the Miami home in February of 2013, which Bannon subsequently claimed as his residence in 2014 to register to vote. I told you that. Bannon told the landlord he would be splitting his time between Miami and California, but neighbors don't seem to recall seeing Bannon ever being there. Clohessy, on the other hand, had apparently been living there with another man who is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence for cocaine distribution. The neighbors often complained about a noise coming from the house and visitors loudly driving away late at night. Well, if he's a cocaine dealer, I think we can solve that one fairly easily. When Bannon switched his residence to a different address in nearby in 2015, the original house he had rented earlier was in shambles. This is from the report on the house. This is what it says. Padlocks had been placed on interior doors, or the doors had been removed altogether. The hot tub was destroyed. The entire jacuzzi bathtub seems to be covered in acid, the landlord wrote in a February.
Seems to be.
Right. In all fairness, we don't know for sure that it's acid. Although, what other liquid gives the qualities of acid without being
bleach?
Acid? Is it bleach?
Ammonia?
Yeah. All right. Maybe he was a cleanliness freak. Maybe he just really enjoyed
paint
a clean
thinner.
Jacuzzi.
Maybe he cleaned paint brushes in there.
Right. I'm out of town, Bannon replied. Is there any way you can talk with Diane and sort things out? This is what he told to the landlord at the time. The damage was estimated at more than $14,000, according to an account by the landlord, who kept the $9,800 security deposit from Bannon and Clohessy. Seems like a good guy to me. I don't know. I trust him.
But that sounds like somebody has an axe to grind, too.
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. The story concludes, I know we would all like to believe that Steve Bannon literally secretes acid out of his skin.
He may.
Yeah, like a prehistoric beast.
Maybe.
So it's a little disappointing to learn that he was pretty much never at this residence. Still, what was going on in that house?
So he was renting it out to somebody who... to ne'er-do-wells who were doing bad things in there?
If you consider a cocaine distributor a ne'er-do-well... Do you?
I do.
I do, too. The Washington Post is implying in the story pretty heavily that whatever was happening there was drug-related. But it says here, we've all seen Breaking Bad.
We have.
Yeah. Sopranos comes to mind. They had an incident or two where they needed to clean something out thoroughly and used either acid or something acid-like.
They used acid or they made some fresh meatballs.
Right.
Some sausage, if
sometimes
you will.
Within minutes of each other, of those two things. All right, we must take a break. A little bit of a break, some more show, and then we go to the stream where John Oates of Hall & Oates joins us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're going to head over to the stream at noon today. I want to mention the latest iOS update has created a bit of a glitch in the WGN Radio mobile app. So if you're an iPhone user and you downloaded the app, we would recommend loading the WGN Plus stream today. Go through WGNradio.com or listen using the TuneIn app. We're trying to get this resolved as quickly as possible, but you won't want to miss a minute of our stream show because we have Brian Regan tickets to give away, and we also have one half of Hall & Oates. John Oates will be joining us to talk about his new book, which looks juicy.
It sure does, Wendy.
I have read some excerpts from it, and I'm telling you, it's way more than just his musical career. John Oates, it's a memoir, Change of Seasons, or do you say memoir?
Memoir. That's. I hope I'm saying it right. Memoir, is that how it's pronounced? I hope it is.
Yes, and Hall & Oates will be on tour very shortly with Tears for Fears. You saw that big announcement, too, so we'll be talking to him at about noon 05.
When I write my autobiography, Wendy, there's going to be a couple of pages devoted just to sticker fun and connect the dots.
John Oates one-upped you. He included a CD in it.
I saw that. That's impressive. Memoir. That's,
isn't it fun to say memoir?
Yeah. Is that a French word? I surprised you earlier. I have knowledge of a French word that you didn't know, and you studied French. I amazed both Kevin earlier today and you by knowing this.
I like to see what you guys talk about before I come in, and it's kind of useless stuff,
yes,
quite
always,
honestly.
Always.
How did this come up, and why don't you share with us your French word?
I can't remember exactly what it is, but I said to Kevin, you know, the French word for butterfly is papillon, and he was amazed, and he said, why do you know that? And I said, and I'll just make a long story short, years ago when I was in Paris, I was attacked by a butterfly, and I didn't know what to yell out to get help from the authorities. I knew if I yelled butterfly, no one would help me because it was France. So I quickly yelled out papillon, and it saved my life, quite frankly.
Now, you left out the part of the story where you still, to this day, have dreams and wake up shouting,
Papillon, Papillon. Yeah. I will yell that in my sleep, remembering that horrible day, Wendy.
You were attacked by a butterfly?
Yeah. They're very aggressive in France. Very aggressive.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know, I love people like Bill who just come up with a useless bit of trivia and just matter-of-factly whip it out.
He's worldly.
He is very worldly.
I may have also seen the movie Papillon starring Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman, and in the scene they explain what it means. That's also possible, but I'm sticking with my original story.
And grapefruit, how do you say that in French?
Pamplemousse. And I know that because as a child I saw a Steve McQueen movie with Dustin Hoffman called Pamplemousse about a man named after a grapefruit.
I took years of French. I took 2 years in junior high, yeah, and then two years in high school. So 4 years of French.
But wasn't your goal to one day go to France and just converse with the locals speaking French?
Yeah, and the only time my French came in handy is when I was in St. Lucia, and there are French-speaking people there, the natives. And I walked into a restroom, and there was a woman next to me, and I had gone in that stall first and noticed there was no toilet paper. So I went in a different stall.
Yeah.
A woman walked in there, and all I heard was, "Ah!" Oh. And I said, "Papier?"
Oh.
And she said, "Oui, s'il vous plaît."
Oh, how about that?
So that's when my French came in handy, the only time in my life.
I almost stayed in bed this morning, and I would have missed that story.
You would have missed it, Steve. Wow.
Maybe you can take us to France with Steve Bertrand Travel, and Bill can say, Papillon.
Or Pamplemousse, depending
when
on...
When you were saying that, when I took a group a couple years ago, and you had been on your Pamplemousse kick, and I actually saw the word.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
Yep. So if there is a conversation in France involving either butterflies or grapefruit, I'm covered. I can't talk about anything else there, but if those two things come up, I'm good.
Good to know.
All right, we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust business launch, and then Wendy and I will be on the stream talking to John Oates in French. That's
jelly?
Gonna be fun.
Are you jelly?
A little jealous?
I just had a great conversation with him in the green room. We were talking.
And now, you set us up with
is
something.
Is the information you gave us true?
He's got a great story about that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
See, I want to trust you more than anything in the whole wide world. And when you gave us this information, my head said, oh, my God, I totally remember that. And the star recognized John Oates, correct?
Yes.
See, and that's ringing a bell, but now I don't trust you again.
All right. We'll find out. Well, look at how disappointed Steve looks. I've seen you look disappointed, but never this disappointed.
I want to tell you so much more, but I just can't.
All right.
Listen to our show on the stream.
I do every day.
We'll be right back. It's Phil and Wendy, WGN.